Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
To Jordan came the Christ our Lord to do his Father's pleasure. Baptized by John, the Father's word was given us to treasure. This heavenly washing now shall be a cleansing from transgression, and by his blood and agony released from death's oppression, a new life now awaits us.
The first stanza of the hymn, To Jordan Came the Christ Our Lord, commemorating the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Now, that story in the gospel readings is followed by another one, not just another chapter in Jesus' life, but perhaps a related incident, the temptation of Jesus. After that baptism, where God speaks his unqualified favor and love over his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased, the Spirit that has descended upon Jesus drives him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And Mark's account of this is very short. It's a little cryptic. It says, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. We're going to talk about Jesus' baptism and his temptation, according to Mark's gospel, on this Monday afternoon, January the 5th. Pastor Tom Baker joins us for the remainder of this hour. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line whenever you're listening, 618-223-8382. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
What's the relationship between these two events, the baptism of Jesus and the temptation of Jesus?
I like to think that what the New Testament does with the inauguration of the New Covenant is that Jesus either fulfills or reverses the failures of the people in the Old Testament. So what we have here with his baptism, we have something happening there that didn't happen to the people, especially as they were going through the wilderness. They went away from God. They rebelled against God. And therefore, God kind of reverses the things that happened even from the time of Adam and Eve. For example, when Adam sinned, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken, and therefore Eden's door was closed. In contrast, when Jesus is baptized and receives the Spirit, he immediately is driven out into the wilderness, and through his work, Eden's door is open. So it's kind of important to look at the Old Testament passages and the characters there and what they did and how they failed and how Jesus instead did not fail and fulfilled the promises that are found in regard to the coming of the Messiah.
I want to come back to some of those Old Testament promises and predictions in a minute here, Tom.
Sure.
But in fact, it's right where Mark's gospel begins. He begins with the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written, he goes straight to the Old Testament in Isaiah the prophet, talking about John the Baptist. Why is John introduced first here?
John is introduced because this is the fulfillment again of the passage out of Malachi that God is going to send a second Isaiah, so to speak. In fact, it's Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And then here comes the big part. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the messenger of the covenant in which God delights is obviously the new covenant, in contrast to the Exodus 24 covenant that was based on the promises of the people. The new covenant is based on the promises and the work of Jesus Christ. So I would say that even the first words of Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this really is not referring to the content, but it is referring to now we are going to begin the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and referring to him as the Son of God, this totally decimates liberal scholars who believe that when Jesus first came on the scene, he was regarded as a regular human being, and then after miracles, people started giving him the idea that he was God. No, it is clear from the very first verses of Mark that Jesus is considered as God himself, the Son of God, and that beginning of the gospel is the beginning of the preaching of the gospel, which John the Baptizer does as the preparer for the coming of Jesus.
And to that preaching, it says in verse 4 there of Mark's gospel, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What's John doing?
What John is doing is what any good doctor would do as an analogy. You come in with a pain. The doctor doesn't recommend treatment until he explains the problem with your pain. So, for example, I was with some shut-ins today, and one had a sore leg. Another one was unable to stand without a lot of pain. But they had gone to their physicians, and before they received the treatment, they were told what was wrong with them. John the Baptizer is preparing for the gift of the forgiveness of sins by showing people that they are indeed sinners. If you don't think you're a sinner, you're not going to need Jesus. That's why the Pharisees crucified him. They thank God they weren't like sinners and tax collectors. So the work of John the Baptizer was very, very important, preaching a repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
So is his baptism, it's a sinner's baptism, right? This is, if you want to come and be baptized, and his preaching seems to reflect that, Tom, if you want to come and hear what I'm preaching, it's going to be repentance toward the forgiveness of sins.
Yes, and that repentance is biblical repentance. Unfortunately, such as in the King James, it says Judas repents, and it says Peter repents, but those are two different Greek words. When Judas repents, so to speak, he is just sad over the consequences. When Peter repents, he is contrite over his sins because he knows that it has made God sad. So proper repentance is not what Judas did, just sorry over the consequences. It's instead a contrition over sin and faith in Jesus as the Messiah. That's what Peter had, and that's why later on Jesus again inaugurates Peter to be his missionary to the sheep.
So the baptizing and preaching ministry of John the Baptist is absolutely necessary to prepare the way for Jesus' public ministry. How so?
Because Jesus comes with the forgiveness of sins as his gift. And if one doesn't think they have the sin or the disease of sin, then there's no need for the medicine of forgiveness. And therefore, every religion in the world, because they look at God the same way they look at their experience, like you go up an extra grade because you pass the test. You get promoted because you do good work, etc., etc. Everything in the world, it seems by your works that you move up the step ladder. So they just assume that's the way God is, that I have to be moving up the stepladder, and they don't recognize the severity of their sin, the depth of their torment, and therefore they don't really think they need a Savior like Jesus, because I'll do it my way.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Monday afternoon, the 5th of January. We are teaching our weekly Sunday school lesson with him in Mark's Gospel, the first 13 verses, both the baptism and the temptation of Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Lord God, thou hast made me a pastor and teacher in the church. Pastors know they aren't perfect, but they are to be cherished and supported. Learn more at acelc.net and register for our next conference on the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastors aren't perfect, but they are a gift from God. Learn how you can support them at acelc.net. I will certainly bring it all to destruction.
You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, January the 5th, we're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on the baptism and the temptation of Jesus. Tom hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. One other thing on John the Baptist's message here. It says in verse 7, Tom, "And he preached, saying, After me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose saddle I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water. he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What is John saying there?
He's almost quoting Isaiah 40, verse 10, where the promise is made, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." What John the Baptizer is saying, therefore, is the one that is coming is mightier than he is. In fact, he is so strong that he is God himself. And he is going to do something special. He is not just going to baptize you with water, as I am doing, but he'll also baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it's very clear that the baptism of John the Baptizer was not the same as the Pentecost baptism where Peter did his preaching. Because there he says, when they're baptized, they do receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, which of course John the Baptizer's baptism did. But he also says you will also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which means your body has now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. This was a prophecy looked forward to by Jeremiah, by Joel, and so forth. It's not that they didn't have the Holy Spirit, because nobody can come to faith apart from the Holy Spirit. But to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is significantly different. And in fact, you therefore then begin to do fruit of righteousness, good fruit rather than just good works. So it's really a significance that is quite different. And John the Baptizer is making very clear that his baptism is different than that of the one that Jesus is going to be bringing.
And it also sounds like he's saying, Tom, I'm not the end of the... this isn't about me. This is about someone who's actually coming after me. As John testifies many, many times, John is not the point. It's the one who, for whom he is preparing the way, who is the point.
And he says it in such a way, as does Mark, by referring to him as the Son of God, that this is God himself become incarnate, who has come, as in another passage John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who has what? Come to take away the sins of the world." And if you look at every Old Testament passage that talks about our salvation, we contribute nothing. God is doing all the action. He's running all the verbs.
All right. The next thing that happens, and it happens in conjunction with John there at the Jordan preaching, proclaiming his baptism and the coming of Christ. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." Mark offers no explanation for that. He does talk about what happened at the baptism, but he doesn't explain why Jesus goes to be baptized himself. Let's explore that question, Tom.
Yes, I really appreciated the way the adult Bible study did it in Growing in Christ. They said Jesus is baptized in order not to just step into our shoes, but to step into our shackles. As was said on the Issues, Etc., just before our second break here, it said, it's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. A lot of people have the idea that Jesus did not take on our sins until he went to the cross. And although we agree he definitely bore our sins on the cross, he didn't wait until the cross to take on our sins. He does so at his baptism. In fact, John the Baptist at one time says, "Wait a minute, I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me?" And then Jesus answers in Matthew 3, verse 15, "It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." What he means by that is the righteousness refers to the will of God that has been decided from before the foundation of the world as to how God was going to save people from their sins. So one can put it this way: when Jesus was baptized, our sins are washed off us and onto him.
Now, Jesus goes, he's baptized, he comes up out of the water, and Mark says immediately he saw the heavens opened, the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." This is obviously a public event, whether John or Jesus or everyone is witnessing this. What is this about, this manifestation of the Trinity?
It's actually the promise of the Old Testament. Once more, Isaiah 63, verse 19, where it says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down." Now, it's really interesting that not only at the beginning of Mark are the heavens split open and the Spirit descends upon Jesus and actually enters him, but we find it also at the end of Mark. In Mark 15:38, when Jesus is on the cross, and it says, "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Now, you might wonder, well, how's that a rendering of the heavens? According to Josephus, a historian who wrote about Judaism, the temple curtain was embroidered with many heavenly bodies, stars, etc., everything except the zodiac. And therefore, the heavens are opened not only when Jesus is baptized, but also at his crucifixion, when God leaves the Holy of Holies and now proceeds to come into the bodies of those who are baptized. I think this is very significant that God is keeping his promises of rendering the heavens, coming down into humanity through the incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, and therefore Jesus is taking upon himself our sins.
Why is it so important that Jesus is publicly attested, even if only John hears these words? Why is it so important that Jesus is publicly attested to be the Son of God and publicly attested to be the one upon whom the Spirit has descended and remains?
That's an excellent question, and it really goes to one of the great themes of Mark. If you just read Mark, it's very ambiguous concerning the Christ. Is this man from Nazareth really the Christ? In fact, the best example that he's ambiguous is his disciples never caught on. You would think in the Garden of Gethsemane, rather than taking a sword and cutting off the ear of the high priest's servant Malchus, Peter would have started applauding. Finally, our salvation has come as Jesus is led away. But it is so ambiguous, the life of Jesus, that unless the Word makes it clear, you will never see Jesus as the Christ. The evidence that he is the Christ, therefore, is always misunderstood, and only the Word of God and the voice from heaven itself, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And apart from that, all it looks like is some guy from Nazareth just getting baptized like the rest of us. But God the Father speaks words that has our eyes now opened in a way. In other words, we don't first see and then believe. That's what the Pharisees wanted to do. We instead are first brought to faith, and then we see. And the Pharisees in Mark 15, for example, when Jesus was on the cross, they said, "Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Christianity is just the opposite. You first are given faith, and then you truly see Jesus as the promised Messiah.
Does that incident, Jesus' baptism, does it tell us about what Christian baptism is for us today?
Yes. In fact, I have mentioned to churches, and it has been that long, it's only been about a year I came to this understanding, that above every baptismal font, we should have maybe a drawing or some kind of art of heaven's opening. Because when I baptize a baby, it is God doing the baptism. He's only using my hands. He's only using my voice. He's only using the water we provide. But what happens is, as Peter says, you not only have the gift of the remission of sins, so the baby is taken out of the kingdom of Satan and put into the Holy Christian Church, but you also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So though it is not evident to our eyes in holy baptism, being the sacrament that it is, the Holy Spirit now enters into that child, and that child's body, or an adult at baptism, is now the body of the Holy Spirit.
We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, January the 5th, on the baptism. And when we come back, we'll turn to the temptation of Jesus, which is a very short account in Mark's gospel with a few details that we don't find elsewhere, like wild animals and angels ministering to him. We'll talk about more of that right after this.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
First three stanzas of the hymn, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. We're talking about the temptation of Jesus in Mark's gospel, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. This is a gem here from Growing in Christ, this Sunday school curriculum that we work from in our conversations with Pastor Baker. Talks about Jesus as this new Adam, who is also a new Israel, the nation funneled down to one man. As Israel was in the wilderness 40 years, breaking every commandment imaginable, so this Israel, reduced to one, was in the wilderness 40 days, keeping every commandment. Though Adam fell, though Israel fell, though we fall daily into sin, Jesus did not. He fulfilled the law for us, not to give us an example to follow, but to give us himself, his love, and his absolution for all our failures. That shows the focus, the cross-centered focus of the Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They'd be happy to send you a free sample of the Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, we come to the temptation of Jesus, and it says, and I think only Mark's account says that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. What are your thoughts there?
First of all, it is clear that the Holy Spirit didn't just come down and alight upon Jesus, but he actually entered into Jesus. The Greek text is very clear. And having come into Jesus, he then drove him into the wilderness, which is interesting. That's Mark 1, verse 12. In Genesis 3, 23, the Lord God drove Adam out of the Garden of Eden. And so both are driven, Adam because he fell into sin, Jesus because he is going to bring us out of sin. And therefore, he's driven into the wilderness. As I said at the beginning, Jesus saves us by fulfilling the promises of the Old Testament and reversing the sin of the Old Testament people. So while Adam is driven out of the Garden of Eden, Jesus is driven into the wilderness in order that the gate to the Garden of Eden will once more be opened for us.
You say that there's a connection here between this account of Jesus, his baptism, his temptation, and the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel chapter 36, I believe. What is it?
I remember the first time I heard that, I thought they were talking in the New Testament. Listen to this. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. From all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. I will be your God. Who cannot but help remember David saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. This is fulfilled entirely at our baptisms. When the promise of Ezekiel is fulfilled, and what kind of happens, just as Jesus received the Spirit in his baptism, which drove him into the wilderness, we now receive the Holy Spirit in our baptism, which drives us back into Eden, which is the holy Christian church on earth. If you want to get where God is, you go to divine worship and find him in the waters of baptism, in the wonderful Lord's Supper, in the words of Scripture, in the liturgy itself, and also in the readings and hymns.
It's in the wilderness that Jesus encounters Satan himself. I mean, we don't know all the ins and outs of how Satan tempts, but since Satan is not omnipresent, he doesn't tempt everyone in the same way, especially not personally. He has many allies and many means of doing it. But in the case of Jesus, he comes personally to tempt him. Talk about that, if you would.
I often ask a group that I'm doing a seminar at, how many of you have been tempted by the devil? And most of them put up their hands. And I don't think I have been tempted by the devil. The devil is not omnipresent. He's only in one location at a time. He may be in China right now or Alaska. I don't know. And for him to take the time to tempt me, Tom Baker, that's really quite ridiculous. He would be tempting those that he really needs to get to. I am tempted definitely by his minions, his demons, but to say that I've been personally tempted by the devil himself, by Satan, I don't know about that. But Jesus was, because had the devil been able to tempt Jesus as he did Eve and Adam, and Jesus had sinned, then when he died, he would have had to die for his own sin.
Then it says he was with wild animals and the angels were ministering to him. Mark has a way of kind of telling these stories in such a quick fashion and then throwing in something that no one else mentions, like the wild animals and the angels. What are we to make of it?
I remember Daniel in the lion's den, and remember the lions just sat there and looked at Daniel. this goes back to the Old Testament passage that talks about that Jesus will be the strong one, so that even as a human being, he has power as God over all animals. And he therefore humbled himself to receive that baptism to take upon himself our sins. As the passage said, he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
So what's the basic message for the kids with a couple minutes before we conclude our conversation?
We always say, let us remember our baptism. Let us remember at the time of the Lord's Supper. What does that mean? It doesn't mean to remember the occasion when we were baptized or to remember the occasion when Jesus died on the cross. What it means is to be comforted and strengthened in the faith. Last Saturday night, I got a call from a pastor out of the city, and he had a member who was near death at Barnes Hospital. I went over to meet the member, but he had died 15 minutes before I got there, Todd, but his wife was there. And I promised I'd stay with her until friends came from out of town to pick her up, and we began to go through the Bible. And you know what really helped her a lot? Was the fact that her husband had been baptized. And he had been so happy that he was baptized because he knew that his sins had been taken care of as far as the east is from the west. And we talked about how Jesus had taken upon her husband's sins, not just at the cross, but at his own baptism, when he said, I need to fulfill all righteousness. And therefore, Jesus became sin for us, that we, and she finished the verse, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And we just sat there in silence in front of the body, knowing that he was no longer there in the spirit, but that he arrived at heaven's home, where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had greeted him, and he was now awaiting for our arrival soon or at Judgment Day.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus calling Philip and Nathaniel. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Ted Giese review the movie The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. It's the last and apparently the longest of the Hobbit movies, and we'll deal with it tomorrow on Issues Etc. This is what it looks like for the Son of God in human flesh to be our substitute. If you keep that word substitute in mind when you're reading through the gospel account, especially Mark's gospel of Jesus, he is the one who comes to take our place. Every place he is there standing in our place. So he goes to the Jordan to be baptized, down into the water with John the Baptist, taking your place. He goes out into the wilderness, driven there by the Holy Spirit, to be tempted by the devil as your substitute, taking your place. He goes to the cross, ultimately fulfilling what God had called him to do into this world. He goes to the cross, taking your place. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basar, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.